A well-known pastor and Bible teacher said, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. You may have heard that. The scripture is clear. We live in a world where Satan has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. If you're not a believer today, Satan's working really hard today to keep you from believing the truth of the gospel message. This is why we see the rise of substance abuse, mass shootings, sexual perversion, all types of sinful behavior. If we are to shine the light of the gospel as Paul instructed the Colossians, who through that particular setting in the book of Colossians that we've been looking at, there is false teaching that's come into this church that was simply settled on the fact that Christ is sufficient to forgive sin. The moment, and we declared this last week, right? We talked about this on Easter Sunday. The tomb is empty. Christ is alive. Therefore, the gospel is 100% certain, and Christ can come into any person's life, cause that person to receive new life. That person is placed into the true church, not just Grace Lighthouse Fellowship, although we do believe that we have a reflection of true believers here who love Jesus Christ and have said, he is mine. I cling to him. I know him. I love him. I said to the men for the 2 Wednesdays that Dennis was away, Christianity is about a person. It's not a religion. The world will put it as a religion because people are in the group of being Christian. But the truth of Christianity, it is about a person who is alive. Jesus promised that he would rise again, and he did. I have this wonderful news for you today. Are you awake? I'm going to check in with you several times. Paul, through instructed Titus, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Jesus Christ in human flesh is him, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In other portions of scripture, you will see this as this present evil age. That's in Galatians chapter 1. But Paul is saying to Titus here, we want to learn how to live godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. A perfect person gave up his life for you and shed his perfect blood for you so that you would know him forever and you would be completely covered from anything that God would say, I call that sin in your life. I call that unclean. And that has to be removed. And the only one who can remove it is Jesus. And he did that on the cross. And when you trust him, that payment gets applied to you. Hallelujah. It's a great story. And it's a true story. And then you can live in this freedom. These people that describe the freedom that they found through Jesus Christ. Three times, you know, you think about these stories and you could go, and if you go to the Teen Challenge, I think it's teenchallengenewengland.org, if you go there, you can watch a lot more stories. I picked two that I thought would be appropriate for us today, but there are some horrible stories of people's lives that have been ruined, and most, and as he said, grew up in a great family. My parents didn't set me up for this, but I found it. And that's what we live in, a world that Satan is alive and well and wants to bring utter destruction to the lives of people and keep people from knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, because Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ, and you can stand on the authority of that. And the scripture urges us to wake up, walk in wisdom, and I want to lay hold of it. I want to lay hold of wisdom. The Bible says in Romans 13, I think around verse 8, it says, and do this knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Romans chapter 13. The scriptures are going to be up on the screen. This is Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Paul is wrapping up the letter to the Colossians, and by the end of this section, he's going to segue into an enormous gratitude of like-minded partners in the work of ministry. Ministry is partnership. That's really what we want to, we want to be of the same mind. But before he gets there, he's talking about how do you walk in wisdom in a world that is filled with a bunch of junk. I saw it yesterday, another mass shooting out of the synagogue in San Diego. Another shooting somewhere else. People's hearts are filled with evil, and they want to do this stuff. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. When he comes into the life, he shows us what we could have been. That's by the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So I'm in the camp of the forgiven, and I'm glad to be there, because Christ Jesus, my Lord, paid for my sin in full, and I camp on that. And guess what? Through the Spirit, there's power. There's power to live effectively in this world. There's power to live effectively in this dark world and to offer hope. And as the world becomes increasingly darker, ahead of when our Lord and Savior will come, you and I need wisdom like never before. Are you hungry for real wisdom from God? I hope so. I pray that I would too. Just the way that that opening statement is that, you know, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Welcome to planet Earth, where Jesus Christ loved this world and he came to die for it. But meanwhile, you and I have some work to do. If we're going to be the ambassadors that God wants us to be, we need to remember, I believe, these three things. We need to know how to earnestly pray on the back of your bulletin. We need to look for and expect opportunity. And we need to be effectively ready. My goodness, that's a tall order. But Scripture says it's possible. I want to be this guy. Because it's possible. God says it's possible. And he says here, masters, in one sense employers, those of you who have influence over people, listen to what he says. Those of you who believe that God is unsympathetic to people in difficult work situations, it's right here. And if you are overseeing a work environment, there's some powerful encouragement for those who lead others. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. In other words, if somebody does a good, hard job for you on a daily basis, you pay them well. That's what it's saying. Be fair to them, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Keep in mind, we will all give account. The Bible says that I will stand and give an account before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is for believers. That's the reward ceremony for a life well lived, or even a life that should have, could have done more for Christ. But if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, it's because God saved you. But he wants us to have a wonderful entrance. I want to have a wonderful entrance. When I see him, the Scripture says, I will be like him. I will be conformed finally to the image of my Savior. Right now, that work is underway. Even though I said, I want you to take my best side, this is not my best side. My best side is coming. Right? I was talking to someone today about, hey, the metabolism just doesn't do quite what it used to do. Do you get that? It's like it just kind of sits there now. And it's like, you got to work that thing harder. And even if you work it harder, my goodness, you know? Anyway, lighten up, right? We're all right. But we want to, so let me read you the scripture. Masters, give your bondservant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Keep in mind, Colossians is one of the prison epistles. Paul is writing under house arrest. He is hindered, in one sense, physically from being able to go out and about. It doesn't stop him from penning scripture. Spirit of God directed Paul to write these very clear letters, epistles. They're authoritative. They're for us right now. That I make it manifest. This is his prayer, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest. In other words, I'm going to make it known as I ought to speak. Oh, how many of us have been in those situations where we're like, oh, I kind of blew that one. But he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." This is news for the here and now. This is what we need to hear in this day that we are living in. You are ambassadors sent from heaven if you know and love Jesus Christ. And God wants more ambassadors. He wants you to be able to tell people freely that their sin is already paid for in full at that cross. You can't earn it. You just need to receive it. And God wants to forgive you. Guess what? Can we throw a party here? God delights in forgiving his enemies. The scripture says that as we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even before we showed up on planet Earth, we came into this world with a problem. God knew that. He says, when you came into this world, my desire is that you would know me and you would know my massive love for you that was poured out for you on that cross. So this is why you can have confidence in your witnessing. And what I mean by that is sharing, going direct. Some of us just still have trouble with this area. I want to tell more people about this awesome love. I mean, it's like we brag on things about people. Oh, they're so nice and they're so kind, you know. You know who's so nice and so kind? It's my Christ, my Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me and died for me. And he's alive! He is alive. And the scripture says he forever lives to make intercession for his church. In other words, Christ Jesus right now is praying for our success, that we would not only get it, we would thrive. Thrive as people who long for our full redemption. In the meantime, we're experiencing just a taste of that. I think one of the hymns says it's foretaste of glory divine, right? We're just getting a little preview. Church is encouraging because you're tasting, you're experiencing here your future. You're being reminded of what's coming. Go home and watch CNN, Fox News, NBC, MSN, and tell me that you feel lifted up. All right? Most of our newspaper is full of stuff that says, huh, there's a problem. And it doesn't seem to get any worse. I mean, it's getting any better. It's getting worse. Paul tells Timothy, in the latter days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, boastful, arrogant. You want to see the list? Oh, my goodness. They're like, we're just good at this stuff. You know, we don't want to be good at this stuff. We want to be new people. We're a new creation. But it's just so we're being honest here, this stuff can still come into the life of the believer. The goal is you want to get the unbeliever to see what Jesus did for them and have them urge them to receive that and know that they receive that. The goal for the believer is to continue to grow in this wonderful grace, this unmerited, we can't earn it, we can just receive it. Isn't that awesome? Like I had the $1 million imaginary box last week. How many of you grabbed it? Okay. You know, some of us just, we need to think about laying hold of Jesus Christ as our treasure. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. If you only knew the wealth that's already in you as a believer, the full wealth of forgiveness, if you could only see yourself as the righteous person that God has made you to be already because you received Jesus, you would be like, oh my goodness, look at me. I'm in him. I'm just waking you up, okay? This is all good. And so I think, you know, you got to think about what Paul's really saying here. Urging the masters, urging those who have control and influence over other people, especially when it comes to employment and work, you take care of them. You treat them as a fellow believer. You value them. And Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. You know what vigilant means? Watchful. You know, you remember the time when Jesus he's on his final hours on planet Earth and the disciples can't even stay awake with him. They're falling asleep. I mean, our Savior's going to the cross. It's only a matter of about 24 hours or less that he's going to be gone and in a tomb. And he's spending his moments and his disciples are falling asleep. Many Christians fall asleep. It's the next thing that seems to have my attention. But Paul's talking about a matter of vigilance in here. You want to be vigilant. And guess what keeps you vigilant alive? Gratitude. Oh my goodness. I wake up and I just say, that guy, he's like totally forgiven. He's loved by Christ. And even though he feels like he blew it yesterday, God still loves him and he's never going to take his hand off his life. That's my God. That's my Lord. That's who I can count on. And if I get out of that mentality and thinking correctly, because that's correct thinking about the true status that a believer has, not that we can't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says don't grieve the Spirit. But we're just bumping into stuff anyway. Our feet are going to get dirty. Our brain's going to get dirty in this dirty world. But you have to keep in mind, as you refresh yourself with thanksgiving, I believe it will take your prayer life and make you more vigilant. I want more people to get this. I want more people in this building. You guys are a blessing. Do you realize that? You're a blessing because you're here. We've been praying. You should be part of our prayer meetings on Wednesday night. We ask God to add people to this church. And guess what? He's doing it. He's answering prayer. And we don't know what our total future looks like here as a church, but we're expecting God to continue to do great things. Walking by faith and not by sight. Oh, that's an impossibility. That can't happen. Why not? Why can't God do something great? Especially if we're shining out the light for what he wants us to do. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the signature of God about love to the world? Most people want to say, I don't really care about that, you know? No, you should care. Anybody listening on radio, you should care. You should care how much our Savior loves you. And so, as you and I grow in our earnest prayer, this is prayer that we're focused. Our dear friend Danielle, who I've mentioned many times, who designed these banners, is with the Lord. She went to be with the Lord this week. They celebrated her life yesterday. And there was much earnest prayer for our friend Danielle. For a 2-year battle with colon cancer, it became liver cancer, it became lung cancer, it became everything that was yucky. But Danielle is in the presence of Jesus Christ, and her life was gloriously celebrated yesterday in Florida for a life well lived for Christ. And she's blessed our church, and she came up here as a visitor a couple years ago and said, hey, I think the banners that my church isn't using anymore would look great on your walls. And I said, amen. So, you know, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And do you know him this morning? Do you really know him? And Paul would say here, expecting. So we're gonna turn our life into an earnest, prayerful attitude. Lord, I want to be used effectively by you. Do you realize prayer is your communication with your Father? It is your right to come to him. The Bible says, boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence that you'd find help in time of need. In other words, God Almighty wants to help you. Wow! And he's proven that. You can't doubt his love for you. As much as you think you didn't deserve it, you didn't. We can get that one straight. I didn't either. But however, in God's wonderful economy, he can bless and he can forgive because that's what he can do. And if we can want to get on board with what he's doing, we can know his power intimately. And we can expect God to reveal things to us in terms of direction and wisdom in a world that is full of things that most of us be like, I cannot wait till my Lord Jesus Christ comes. I know some of you are feeling that way. I hear that from several people in this church. I long to see Christ. Well, you should. The Bible calls it the blessed hope. It is the hope of hopes. Just as they anticipated Christ coming at the time of his coming, some wise people, specifically some wise men, knew that that star represented that this pointed to Messiah. There's a lot of unbelievers at that time too. There was a lot of denial that he was Messiah, but Jesus Christ came when he said, when the Bible says he came, he came. He came exactly how he said he would come. He came in human flesh. And that should be an encouragement to you. God isn't just relating to you from some angelic presence. He's relating to you in a person, and the person is Christ. Jesus understands what you go through. The Bible says he sympathizes with every one of your weaknesses, every struggle. You are never without help with when you have Christ. You're never without hope. You have him. He is with you. He made you. He understands you. If you're going through some season of affliction right now, know that Christ wants to be ever present in your time of need. He wants to manifest his joy for you and his love for you. You got to open up your heart to him, and I pray that you would. So Paul says, meanwhile, praying also that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here's the mystery of Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not holding men's sins against them, and that when Christ accomplishes the full work on the cross, it is an all-sufficient offering in God's view, and anyone who would trust that is forever forgiven. That is what this is. This mystery that God wants to, he wants to form this new organism called the church, and that's you and me who say, I believe that, I trust that, I know him. You're part of this wonderful thing called the church. I know so many churches have like different door labels. The true church of Jesus Christ are those who have received him. It is not walking yourself into a building. Jesus says, I am the door. Have you gone through him? Not that you showed up in a building that says church, but have you gone through Jesus? And that, if you've done that, you are part of his one true church, because you know that you didn't do anything to deserve it anyway, and you received it as a gift, and that's what God wants. This is the mystery of Christ. This is how God could take our situation just the way we are. And that's these beautiful stories that we watched up on the screen this morning. These beautiful stories of lives changed. And that's what Teen Challenge Mission is all about. That's what you're going to hear next week. Lives changed because somebody can say, in my worst moment, where I just looked at, I look over at my vehicle and that thing, and everybody else says, you should be dead. And in the meantime, I was on a drug overdose that should have killed me, and I'm here. So those are moments that a thinking person should say, huh. Wow, and that's what I think you're seeing up on those screens. That's what you're going to hear next week. So Paul is saying, expect opportunity. We're going to pray that God's going to open up doors for Grace Lighthouse Fellowship moving forward. You don't want to shrink back from your responsibility to represent Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for him, but you need wisdom of how to represent him. Instead of just complaining about how bad your life is, think about what Christ already went through for you. He loved you. He went to the cross for you. And I think sometimes when we enter this, more of just my life is, I want my, a lot of churches I've seen today will teach your best life now. In other words, you just deserve all the money you need, and if you just name it and you claim it and you blab it, you grab it and all this stuff, and it's just, people are just, they're miserable because they tried these things and they sent in and don't ever listen. If I ever offer a handkerchief that's blessed and you have to write in to get it because you're going to get a lot of money if you do that, please fire me, okay? The blessing of God is marked in Jesus Christ, and when you trust him, you got everything. Now, your growth in your knowledge is wisdom, and you learn how to navigate in this sinful planet in a way that God's going to say, I'm going to help you. I am for you, not against you. Paul says to reckon yourselves as dead to sin and alive to Christ. In other words, you see it for what it already is. You are already reconciled to God because of Jesus. Start appreciating that. Wake up and say, I'm a reconciled person. I don't like that old guy anymore. By the way, he died and he's gone and the new guy's emerging. And I really want to feed him. I want that guy to be fed these wonderful truths. And instead of feeling like you got to grovel your way into the presence of God over and over again because something you shouldn't have thought that, whatever, you all that stuff that we just sort of, we harass ourselves with, recognize that when you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Paul says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. I bump into a lot of people in this community. I'm talking to newspapers, and I'm like, oh my goodness, did I really say that? They close the article off quoting me. There's no bait and switch here. That's the final line to the article. No bait and switch here at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. And I believe that. There's no bait and switch here. We're going to tell you exactly. I'm not getting you in this building for any other reason. I want you to know Jesus. And I want you to know how much he's for you and not against you. And the world is going to continue to kind of diminish this, and they're not going to uphold Christ as he should be upheld. I want to walk in wisdom. I want my speech always to be with grace, seasoned with salt. This is pretty cool when you think about this. How many people do too much with the salt shaker? Okay, you're a high blood pressure person. I'm teasing you. But some of us are like, so I'm a chili maker. I like chili. I actually won a trophy a couple years ago. And if you want to see it, I'll show it to you. But I've learned about the key to cooking, and some of you have been in different culinary art type work, and you still go to courses or whatever. The key, I believe, to cooking is salt. Pearl, you know this better than anyone, right? Even though you try to be nice to everybody so none of us die from high blood pressure when we come to Thanksgiving dinner, right? All right, you and I go head to head on that one. Okay. All right, I love you. Even if I win. So the key to cooking is really good flavor. Is salt calls it. It almost summons those flavors to pop. And that's the way our speech should be. So, like our words should pop. We should have some savory effect where people are like, my goodness, that was an encouraging comment. Not some just grumpy session that you walk in and you just like, you know, you're the grump force, you know? You know, just like, oh, there they are again. And see, God wants more for us to realize. And as we think correctly, we actually bless. I've been in situations, I'm thinking, I don't even know what to say here. This is going to be crazy. And then I see how God leads and he provides. And sometimes the key thing is shutting this thing up too. And J. Vernon McGee made a really good point. He's like, I used to go in a different... J. Vernon McGee with the Lord now, wonderful Bible teacher, said he used to go to people's homes and he'd open up his mouth too quick and he finally said, you know what, I'm just going to shut up and listen, and if I need to say something, I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So when I speak a word that the person in front of me truly needs to hear. That should be the way we think about our speech being seasoned. Your walk, as the scripture calls this, you know, number of places Paul uses this term called walk. It's your life in this present world system as an already rescued soul. Think about that. Your life in this present world system as an already rescued soul. Your walk, it's where you work, it's where you go. It's when Stop and Shop is on strike and you have to walk by them, you know. And these people want to say nasty things to you because they don't want you coming in the store. How do you handle those situations, you know? It's your walk. Yeah, I heard that. So we want to learn how to walk wisely. I love what Paul says, a couple of different places. He calls it the worthy walk. You want to walk worthy of the calling you received. He would point that out in Colossians chapter 1. He also refers to those who have a disorderly walk. Brothers who have chosen to walk disobediently and they pull the church down. Paul says actually disassociate from them because they're going to rip you apart and they're going to cause some problems in your midst. And so we want to encourage people. That's why when the Bible says encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Life does get ugly sometimes, and if we're not careful, we can get bitter, and then we can start to become unproductive. So that we want to avoid that disorderly walk. But Paul would say, walk in the Spirit. Two other places in Galatians 5 and Romans 8. Walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's filling presence through the Scripture and the Spirit's empowerment in your life. You don't separate the Word and the Spirit. Oh, I'm so like under the control of the Holy Spirit, but I don't know a thing about the Bible. We want to encourage you. Know more about the Bible. Know more about the Scripture in context. There's a lot of people who want to separate Scripture, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, and we want to bring those two together so that we have a balance here. It's like, that's not correct. I'm not doing that. And that's a balance of, and that's being filled with the Spirit. And then the Psalm 1 walk. I love this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. This is getting all your advice from ungodly people. That's dumb. Okay? Just going to say it. You seek out people who don't know God for worldly advice, and that's the only people that you consult. I'm not saying there isn't some people that may have some valuable principles to share. But if the bulk of our investment is what we read on Wall Street Journal, and we never open up the Bible, or we never, and that's why I think Dave Ramsey's financial piece is so valuable, because Dave bases that as he's looked at the scriptures and says, there are many things here that can help you, believer, be effective in this world. And so Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Our dependency upon Christ is so incredibly important. But come to him as a child who would just want to run into the arms of their parent. You know what I mean? Just see yourself as you're running to him. Your sin's already been moved out of the way. Just keep coming. You want to be a happy kid. John chapter 21, and I think about what Jesus said to Peter in those final words. Remember, Peter has this horrible moment, and Jesus said it would happen. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And then Peter has this intimate conversation with Jesus, and do you love me? Feed my sheep. And three times Jesus is going back and forth with Peter. And I love what Jesus points out here in John chapter 21. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, speaking of Peter, you girded yourself, you know, you got yourself going, and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, and I really believe this is what Jesus is saying, Peter, as you grow in your understanding, when you are old, when you understand, and if you want to read the enthusiasm of the Apostle Peter, read 1 Peter 1. Read 2 Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. There you go. Two books. It's Peter's life, now mature, and God blessed him. So Peter, you walked where you wished, but when you were old, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. And I really believe this is Peter reflecting his willingness to follow Christ. And another will gird you, and I believe the girding here is the Holy Spirit's presence. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. In other words, there are many situations in this life that you would say, I don't want to go there. That's a confrontation. That's an uncomfortable situation. But I'm going to go because the Spirit's telling me to go. In other words, I'm going to take what God has put in me and I'm going to go and I'm going to speak on his behalf. And I've seen that happen in this church with guys like Mike Mangum. I'm just noticing Mike in the back, who's trying with God's grace and help to help put a Bible in every local police and fire department, a copy of a Bible that was written specifically to help policemen, a Bible that specifically helped to help firefighters. Nice helps, really well designed. It's a cool Bible. And Mike's vision is to go. And if you talk to Mike, he'll tell you, not every officer at a police desk is friendly. But Mike says, no, we're going to go for this. And I love this about Mike. He's willing to take on some real important challenges at his later hours, later in life. And says, if God keeps me here for another couple days, I'm going to do this. I'm like, oh, Mike, we're praying that God keeps you here. You know? So there are times where, as a maturing believer, you are going to be carried where you do not wish. And in that, know that you're going to be girded up by the strength of the Spirit of God. And you are going to say, thank God for my weakness, because when I'm weak, his power is made strong in me, and God gets the glory for what he did in you. Isn't that fabulous? This is the wisdom walk. This is walking in wisdom, knowing your full dependencies on him. And you, and this, Paul was talking here about our speech being seasoned with grace, that we would have this gracious and pleasing response. I don't have to go in and boss my way through life anymore, because if God's leading me, he's going to open the door. I just love that. Peter says it this way, but make sure that in your hearts you honor Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope you have. Be ready to give the reason for it, but do it gently and with respect. I'm going to close with this. The writer of Proverbs says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. There should be a craving in the heart of the believer that wants true, godly wisdom. Chris may have a slide for this. One of the most deadly legacies of the 20th century was the use of landmines. These were nasty. They were used in warfare. You remember places like Vietnam, people would come home with no limb. Today they call them IEDs. Anti-personnel landmines continue to have tragic unintended consequences years after battle, and even after the entire war has ended. As time passes, the location of landmines is often forgotten, even by those who planted them. These mines continue to be functional for many decades, causing further damage, injury, and even death. Every true believer should navigate this life as if he or she understands that Satan's trying to plant landmines. They can be activated in your heart through bitterness, regret, anger, jealousy. These are the products of the flesh. Stuff that flows out of the old nature that God wants you to see was already crucified with Jesus. And in order to overcome and stop tripping on landmines that are going to be there, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God like never before. It is no accident, in my estimation, of how God has been leading this church. I could tell you stories of just in the last 2 weeks of people that I've talked to who have contacted this church and said, if I only had an autism support group, if my family member only had an autism support group a couple years ago, they might not be in the mess that they're in today, because the pressure that they felt and the aloneness that they felt. When you think about 159 overdoses just in the town of Wareham in 2018 from opiate addiction, that God is leading us as a church to make sure that people know there's hope. There are people who should be here next week because it's the only hope for their family member, and they need to know what's possible and that victory is possible. An effective church is a wise church. It's a church that knows in this day and age, we don't want to waste any opportunity. We want to do it for God's glory because He wants to be the one who gets the credit for leading this fellowship. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in this church. And Father, we want to be people that understand how to walk wisely in this day, that we want to be able to recognize the landmines that could be all around us, sometimes in our own heart, and we even step on them. And we wind up feeling a sense of defeat, discouraged, even death. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for anyone here that says, I need wisdom. In this day, I am a candidate for godly wisdom. If that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to simply raise up your hand. You don't have to open your eyes, just raise up your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here this morning? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God for what He's doing in you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this world where we need every resource of the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning for anybody in this room who doesn't know Jesus personally. They've never laid their own sin on Him, that this would be the day. Is anybody here this morning? Simply, I just want to pray for you. Never actually know for sure you laid your sins on Christ. You trust that what He did for you. Is that you today? No one's here to embarrass you. We're here to pray for you and ask that God would work in you. Anybody this morning? Father, thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of people. I pray that you would continue, Lord, to work powerfully through Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. I want to thank you for Jason coming here today and being a testimony of Grace's faithfulness to you, that all these years later, this is a place that's a beacon for Jesus Christ, and that was her prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful word that goes forth and has gone forth in these parts for many years. And we pray, Lord, that in this hour of darkness and difficulty, in our neighborhoods, that we would recognize that greater is He who is in you than he who is in this world. And so we want to stand on the authority of our true righteous position that you've given to us freely. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you. Bless us, Father, the rest of this day. Father, be with those across our nation who are being ravaged by drug addiction. I pray, Lord, that you will be calling many out of darkness across our land, that you would bring them the hope that they need. And thank you for ambassadors like us that can go and to be that person that you want us to be in a time such as this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.